All right. You guys ready? You're probably wondering what topic I'm talking about. Yeah? All right. We're going to talk about contentment. Contentment and envy, okay? So probably bigger words for the littler kids. But I put up some definitions for you here. Contentment. What I'm talking about, contentment this morning, it's satisfaction and joy from a trust in God's goodness. Okay? So kids, it means that you're good with what God has given you. You trust him. You're happy about it. That's contentment. You're good with it. Envy then, so we're contrasting this big word contentment with the little word envy, but it's a powerful word. It means dissatisfaction and believing God hasn't been good enough to you. So a lot of times envy might look like, oh, I want to be like that person, or I want what they have, or I don't like what God's given me. I wish he'd give me more. Does that make sense? So this morning, these are pretty big things that kind of saturate our daily life. And a lot of times, I think we don't even think too hard about them because it's so normal for us to struggle with this stuff. But contentment and envy is what we're talking about this morning. I got a couple funny pictures for you. The first one, I was just thinking, like, man, what would kind of show this? You know that old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? This cow thinks it's better on the other side of the fence, too. And if you can see, this is barbed wire. And after working with cows for over a decade, I can say that this happens often. Cows are just dumb. They think they want that, and they're willing to put themselves through some pain to get there. Now, if we think this is exclusive to one cow, I think this next cartoon just says, you know, isn't this the thing? Like, I think all of us might say, you know, there's some situations it does really seem like the grass is greener on the other side, but I think this sums up our daily life even more. And it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad because this is how a lot of people, myself included, live. Like, I want what they have and they want what I have, and no one's satisfied. No one's content. We're all envious of something. So I just want to read. I kind of wanted to start out with a reading and a little base text. We're going to get to some of these verses later on in the sermon as well. But would you stand with me? We're just going to read through three verses here this morning. Proverbs 14:30, and then Proverbs 15:16 to 17. So Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." And then jump over to Proverbs 15, verses 16 to 17. It says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it." You can be seated. So, as I said earlier, I think it was like right away on Monday or Tuesday when I first started thinking about this sermon, I just felt like we needed to back up a little bit before we jump right into Proverbs. And because I think this whole theme pops up throughout Scripture. It almost shapes the theology as you read through Scripture. And I'm just going to read some of these passages for you. And kids, if you want to help me, like as I'm reading through it, just think in your head, does this passage portray contentment or envy? Okay? So Genesis 1, 31 through Genesis 2, verse 3. It says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Would you say this is contentment or envy? Contentment. God just created something. all of creation. He says it is very good, and then he rests. It's done. He's content with his work. Okay? So we see contentment here. Now, we just go one more chapter, Genesis 3, verse 4 and 6. Remember, the serpent comes and tempts Eve, and Adam's there with her, and she's kind of wondering, should I eat that fruit that God said I shouldn't eat? It says, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was there with her, and he ate. What are we seeing here? Is it contentment or envy?
Envy.
So God gave them everything, and because it was very good. This work is good enough. I'm done. And yet they wanted the one thing that God said no to. They were envious. They were saying, that's the one thing I want. God's not enough. All right, Exodus 19. If we go another book forward, remember God rescued his people from Egypt, from their slavery for hundreds and hundreds of years, and he's bringing them toward the promised land. And he tells Moses to tell the people this, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Do we see contentment here or envy? Contentment. God's saying, I rescued you. You are the people I want. And if you just listen to my voice, everything's going to go great. You're going to be my treasured possession among the whole earth. I will be content with you if you just listen to my voice. Okay? So we see contentment here. But then what happens just a little bit further down the story here? Moses goes back up the mountain to talk to God and say, yes, the people agree to that. And he's taken too long. 40 days is all it took. And it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. Are the people satisfied and content with God? No, they're envious. They want more. They want it faster. They want it better than what they think God has given them. So again, contentment and envy, it keeps going all throughout Scripture. Here's another one. If we jump to the New Testament, actually even in between this, we could see, you know, God being content with choosing certain people as king and giving them a kingdom like David. And then he's envious of things that God did not give him, like Bathsheba. All sorts of little stories throughout the Old Testament. We get to the New Testament and we're introduced to a new person, Jesus. In Matthew 3 here, it says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Contentment or envy? Contentment. God is perfectly content. He's perfectly pleased with his Son, Jesus. Okay? How do the people receive Jesus throughout the Gospels? Here's just a couple instances. In John 7, 43, so there was a division among the people over him. They're all arguing, like, is he really the Christ? Is he really who he says he is? I'm not sure. I don't know if we can accept him. In Matthew 12, 14, for Pilate knew that it was out of envy that the Pharisees had delivered Jesus up to death. Okay, I gave it to you here, I guess. But again, we see even Jesus, who God is perfectly pleased with, perfectly content with, this is the one, follow him, listen to him. And the people are like, yeah, I don't know. We might want someone else. And the Pharisees are envious of Jesus' popularity and God's favor on him, and they want to put him to death. Okay? So all throughout Scripture, I just felt like we needed to grasp this. All throughout Scripture, we are shown God is perfectly content with his will, his plan, his works, his Son, his people.
Yes.
And people, mankind, are constantly envious and jealous and greedy for what God did not give. Okay, so like, let's just frame that then as we go into Proverbs, because I think Proverbs gives us the instructions on how to live content in every circumstance. It's meant to help us realize, hey, we need God's contentment. Because left to ourselves, we are envious and greedy and discontent. So my first point here, I think I have four of them. First one is true contentment begins with God. Proverbs 28:25. Greed, envy, discontentment, whatever you want to fill in there, causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Again, just this thought, this greed, it produces negative consequences. Whenever you see greedy people, right, bad things happen. And yet patiently waiting on the Lord, you will have success. Now, it might not be the success that you first think or hope for, but you will have great success in your life if you wait patiently and trust the Lord. He will always bless the people that trust him. Always. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. I don't know how to unpack this much more than what we're reading, right? But like, if we have God and he gives us just what we need, we're much better off than if we have all the treasures of the world, because there's so much trouble that comes with it, right? I don't know how many of you, have you ever like gone, you know, maybe when you're first married, you had the little house with very little possessions, and then you move to the bigger house, and the bigger house, and you have more possessions to fill it up, and you realize, wow, I have a lot more troubles now that I have a lot more stuff. And in some ways, even though it was hard, when we started out and we were trusting God to provide for certain needs, it was better, right? I think a lot of us have that same type of story. Proverbs 30:8-9. This is actually one of the Proverbs that Solomon did not write. This is from King Agur, and this is a prayer of his. And one of the things in his prayer, he says, "Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Okay, what he's basically saying is, Lord, if I have too much to make me rich, I might just live like I don't need you anymore. And yet, if I have so little that I'm tempted to steal and do the things that you said not to do, you know, don't let me get there either. Give me just what I need in order to praise you. Okay. The New Testament talks about this stuff too. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. That's really hard to say as an American, isn't it? It's really hard to say in this culture. But I think if a lot of us had a window into most people around the world, they would be very happy to just have food and clothing. We are a very envious, greedy, discontent people here. And we need the Lord's help. True contentment begins with God. We have to start with God. If God's content and we are his people, we need to share in his contentment. Second point, envy destroys from within. Proverbs 14:30. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Okay, it's just a different translation from what we read earlier. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. I think we'd all want to be healthy, right? Nobody here wants to struggle with cancer. It eats away and destroys. And yet, how do we find peace? We can't find peace if we're constantly chasing after, I need this, I want this. There's no peace there. But peace leads to health, spiritual health. I am content and at peace with what God has given me. Proverbs 15:27. Greed brings grief to the whole family, but those who hate bribes will live. Again, just this discontentment, this envy, this greed, it will affect your relationships. You're constantly comparing to other people and things, and then you teach your children to do the same by modeling that behavior, and it just brings all this grief to those around you. Proverbs 1:19, such is the fate of all who are greedy for money, it robs them of life. And again, these are principles. I think you could switch this greedy for money for discontentment with whatever. If that's what consumes you, I always want more, I always need more, this isn't enough. Eventually, it robs you of the life that God has given you to enjoy. I just want to share my own struggle with this. I have turned this on and turned this off many times throughout the years. As you know, I'm a bird watcher. I'm going to give you a little bird watching secret this morning. I don't find all the cool birds I see on my own, okay? I know. There's tools out there, you guys, for serious birders, okay? There used to be an email list that you'd sign out and if people, found a rare bird, they'd email it, it would go out the list and be like, oh, I can find this bird there. As social media came on, it began to be Facebook groups and things like that. When social media blew up and there was like 10,000 people on the birding group and they're posting about cardinals when we want to find rare birds. And then it switched over to this other thing called Discord. So there's still probably a couple thousand people on this here in Minnesota. This is the Minnesota Discord list. But again, if a rare bird shows up in a certain area, people will post the coordinates, say this is where it's been seen, and you have a much greater chance of seeing it, okay? So why am I telling you all this? Because it's real easy to get sucked into this world all the time. You get alerts on your phone. Oh, I gotta see that one, right? I gotta drop what I'm doing and chase that one. And it just, I know I have a wife and four kids and different jobs. I can't do that all the time, right? But there began to be this discontentment in my heart that even though I know I can't go chase that bird, there's this like fear of missing out. You know, this constant pressure of, oh, can I squeeze that one in? I mean, this is kind of a silly one, but I think this just shows, like, this can affect our daily life, and we don't realize how discontent we can be all the time. And I have not left the group, because sometimes it's a very good tool, but I have shut off the notifications for Discord on my phone, so it's not dinging. I have missed some really good birds this summer. But you know what? I've been okay with it. I really have been. And it's given me the opportunity to enjoy what God has blessed me with, which birds he's blessed me with to see on my daily walks or whatever, in a way that I wouldn't if I was constantly watching the notifications, wishing I was somewhere else. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is just a silly one for me, but I think all of us struggle with this envy, this greed, this discontentment inside of each one of us that says, I need that, I want that, I can't wait to get that. And we're missing out on what God has for us right here. Maybe God wants to teach you something with being okay, Joey, with seeing a cardinal. You don't have to see the red-breasted whatever from South America, right? There might be something special God wants to teach me by just enjoying what's right in front of me. And for you guys too, I just want to encourage you, envy destroys from inside your heart and inside your mind, and it will eventually kill you. It will kill you and rob you of joy. So I just want to encourage us this morning, identify the envy in your heart and bring it to Jesus. Because only Jesus satisfies and restores our contentment. All right, third point. Contentment is better than abundance. Again, for Americans, we struggle with this. We do. Proverbs 15:17. Again, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Yeah, I agree with that, right? But wait till it's put in front of you and you say, man, you know, that juicy steak is so good. If I said, which meal would you rather, the juicy steak or this little bit of mint leaves, you would always pick the steak. But if I said, you know, you have to eat this steak with people that hate you, or you get to enjoy this tiny little salad with people that just love you. And then we'd say, you know what? This actually is better, isn't it? And I think this is another silly one maybe Solomon is pointing out, but it's true. It's better to have a little bit with love than a lot with hatred. Another one. Better is a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. Again, the pictures, you know. We would all pick, just looking at the pictures, the Thanksgiving feast over the stale crust that some kid left on the counter 2 days ago. And yet, if you can eat that crust in peace versus arguing the entire time you're eating that meal, I think we would all say, you know what? I'd rather take peace. I want peace in my home. And it's better to have less to enjoy that peace than to have so much and can't manage it, or we're fighting over it, or whatever it is. All right, Proverbs 16:8. Better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. Again, I'm not going to unpack that one too much, but I think so many times there are people in this world that get rich by being dishonest. And that temptation comes along with the more and more things you have. And yet to have little, we can still have godliness. Hebrews 13:5, New Testament says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, I think this one's good for us Americans as well. It doesn't say keep your life free from money. We are all blessed with more money, even the poorer ones among us. We have more money than most of the world. We are rich. But it says keep your life free from the love of money. Don't keep chasing after that. Be content with what God has given you. Why? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that enough? Is it enough to know that Jesus calls you his own, loves you, and keeps you? Is it enough? I think I've shared this with you guys before. Pastor Phil out in Ohio, every so often I get a little text from him. He just reminds me, rejoice, your name is written in the book of life. And it helps. Sometimes it comes in at just the right time. Because I'm discouraged or I'm discontent or whatever. And it just puts it in perspective. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, what I'm struggling with. Jesus is enough. And I need to remind myself of that. Amen. Lastly, the fear of the Lord is what teaches us contentment. The fear of the Lord. Again, what do we mean by that? It doesn't mean that we need to be scared of God the same way we'd be scared of a scary movie or a grizzly bear, Regina, if you're hiking. The fear of the Lord, right? Think about this. The fear of the Lord, it's a good thing. It's saying, I know who God is and I know who I am. I know what God can do and I know what I can't. I know what God has given me and I'm okay with it, because I know who he is. There's a reverence, a fear of God that teaches us to be content. Me, and it stopped me recording. There. She should know I'm preaching right now. She listens to my sermons online. All right. I'll call her afterwards.
She's maybe listening to your
sermon. Maybe she is listening. Don't say that. Okay. Proverbs 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. The more that we're looking around at our fellow man, I think the more we're going to struggle with envy. But yet, if we look to God each and every day and we remember who he is and what he has blessed us with in Christ, we'll find contentment.
Amen.
Sinners, again, I think these are the people that seem to have it all. And if we go back to that silly cartoon at the beginning, we realize they don't, right? We think they have it better. And they might look at us and think we have it better. And it's just silly. But yet proper reverence for God, who you are and what you've been given, it's enough. That's the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 23, 4 to 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Anyone who's lost a job, anyone who's lost their home to a fire or had to downgrade something, we all realize all these things we work so hard for, they could be just gone in an instant, right? Don't put your trust in that stuff. I thought about sharing a picture of an eagle. Just, you know, I've seen it close by, and next thing you know, they hit one of those thermals and they're gone. That's what it can be like to acquire all this wealth, trying to get it. It could just be gone in a second. Don't chase after that. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. I think if I asked each person here, would you rather be rich or poor? We don't say rich. But to be rich in the Lord, in his blessings, that's what we truly want, isn't it? And it doesn't matter what we own or what we have. As long as we have the Lord, we have blessing. And there's never sorrow or sadness in being content with the Lord and what he's given. When our hearts fear and trust God, we can rest in his goodness and we won't be saddened by what we don't have. So, just to finish with a question. How could fearing the Lord free you from discontentment and envy this week? How could fearing the Lord free you from discontentment and envy this week? I was thinking about it this week, man. It's so easy to get caught in the thought of, I got to do better. I got to try harder. I got to really work hard at not being this way. And yet if I just focus on the Lord and fear him, I could be free. I don't have to walk with the burden of do better. I can live in the freedom of knowing he's satisfied with me in Christ. And that's enough. And the rest is just more blessing. But it starts with fearing the Lord, you guys. And I don't think we spend enough time being still before him and thinking and praying and praising and thanking him for all the wonderful things he has given us. We just think about more. We think about different and all those struggles. You know, maybe it's your appearance. Maybe it's wishing you had someone else's body or style or attractiveness. Maybe it's not someone in particular. Maybe it's just being discontent with how God made you. Maybe it's relationships, longing for a different spouse or kids or circle of friends. Maybe it's success, wanting someone else's career, achievements or recognition. Maybe it's possessions, comparing houses or cars or vacations or gadgets. Maybe it's experiences, feeling left out or jealous of what others get to do, the fear of missing out. Maybe it's personality and gifting, wishing you had someone else's talents, confidence, or spiritual gifts. Maybe it's circumstances, being discontent with your stage of life, your job situation, or your health. I think we all have areas in our life that we would say, I'm discontent, I'm envious, I'm greedy. And I just want to encourage us this morning to surrender it to the Lord. And if you put your faith in Christ, you can and will find joy in walking in the freedom of his contentment. One last verse. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. Paul writes this. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, we thank you that you are enough. And Lord, I pray for conviction this morning. I pray that you would open our eyes to see the beauty of who you are and what you've done and what you invite us to, Lord. You say that if any of us repent and turn to you in faith, we will be saved. Our names are written in the book of life, and we can rest in knowing we are right with God and we receive your Holy Spirit, and we can be free from the burden of discontentment in this world. Help us, Lord, to surrender to your Spirit and trust you in all these things, we pray. Amen.